Your Talk Authority News Radio, 1150 KSAL.
Prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
And welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith meets reason, and it's our contention that you don't have to get rid of one to appreciate the other. I'm Dave, and here with me is Pastor Jeff.
Morning, Dave. Good morning, Salina. I think we're going to have a very interesting show today. There's a lot of big questions, being the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, things just get rolling around in our minds and our hearts, and this is an emotional time, at least for me.
Oh, no, it is.
I'm sure it is for a lot of people, too. I went ahead and this last week I rewatched a lot of those videos from the original scenes, not the montages, but I went through and watched the original news shows. Uh-huh. And I tell you what, man, I am not an emotional guy, but watching those, I kind of teared up a little bit because it was, yeah, I mean, it brought back those very same feelings I had that day 10 years ago.
You know, lots of people remember where they were. Where were you at?
I was in California. I was working as a pastor, and this is before we moved to Salina. But I was in bed because, you know, we're 3 hours behind New York in California. So I was in bed. I got up really early that morning, though. I think it was like 6:30, and went downstairs and flipped on the TV and saw one of the towers and what had already happened there a little bit. And I couldn't believe what I saw. And I called my wife down, and we were watching TV. And I think we were watching TV when the second plane hit. Man, 10 years later, your memory gets a little fuzzy.
Right.
But I think we were actually watching when the second plane hit. And just, you know, I didn't go into work right away that morning. You know, I'm just sitting there thinking, as a pastor, you know, how am I going to help my people understand this?
Right.
And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Like, how do you deal with that sort of thing?
Right. I mean, you know, it was actually when that second plane hit that we realized that it was not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives us the, you know, the problem of evil.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, that's what all the newscasters were saying as you watch the TV accounts. Everyone's saying, oh, this is a terrible accident, lots of loss of life, you know, this is a horrible thing. And then a second plane smashes into the tower, and mm-hmm. they say, this is completely different now.
Yes.
We've moved into a different realm of being, because that's when we realize there's some real evil here.
That's right.
This is not just an accident. I mean, this is evil. This is evil things happening right here in our own country.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about evil today. Why does God allow it? And a related thing that, you know, Muslims or Islam is blamed for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And something connected. Has Christianity ever caused war? Something we were going to talk about last week, but we kind of pushed it to this week, and it is fitting.
It is relevant for this week.
Yeah, and finally, if we have time, would you be capable of committing a 9/11?
Yeah, that's a good question, because a lot of us see that and we just say, I would never, ever do anything like that. And that's a good question. Would we be able to do something like that? Are they moral monsters that we could never become, or are they in fact more like us than we want to admit?
Right, exactly. And of course, we're going to be answering questions. We welcome questions. And if you have questions, go ahead and give us a call, 785-823-9596 here locally.
823-9596.
Yes, and then toll-free, 800-608-1150.
And if you want to check us out online, you can go to truthrevolution.tv. That's truthrevolution.tv, and find all of our phone numbers, emails, Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, YouTube accounts, so you can flame us if you want to.
We are connected.
And so we're going to be answering your questions. We're going to be answering some of these questions about 9/11 and evil, and why does God allow evil to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Because we welcome questions here, and we're part of Revolution Church, and we do the same thing at Revolution Church. If people have questions during the service, they can send those in, and we try to answer those right on the spot.
Right.
So, hey, I want to invite anyone out there who's listening to come and join us Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Revolution Church. You know, what we talk about here, the same type of fun-loving atmosphere with challenging questions, that's what we do at Revolution. We enjoy each other's company, we have a good time, and we have challenging questions.
Right.
That's kind of how we go about learning about God.
It's enjoyable that way.
It is.
Yeah. First, though, we're going to answer some Bible contradictions.
That's right. We are going to, each week, we want to take a look at some Bible contradictions, and we are going to answer supposed contradictions to maybe see if there's really something going on here or not. So, you know, that's kind of the question we want to answer, because a lot of people think there are Bible contradictions when there's not really. They're just supposed Bible contradictions. You know, they, we have answers to all these sorts of problems. So let's go ahead and hit one.
Bible contradiction.
All right. This week, the Bible contradiction talks about the shape of the earth. You know, and...
round.
Yeah, planets are spheres. Okay. Not flat. We're not living in...
What?
Hold on to the ground. And, you know, you cannot see the entire exterior of the Earth from the surface of any place. Actually,
yeah.
When you're on a sphere, you can't see the entire surface of the sphere from any place upon that sphere.
Mm.
Egypt, China, Greece, Crete, sections of Asia Minor, Maya, and Mexico. Carthage.
What about Montana?
Maybe. Montana's pretty flat. Come
yeah.
on.
Maybe you could see the whole world from Montana.
Whatever. I do not think so. Anyway, Isaiah, our contradiction comes from Isaiah 40:22 and Matthew 4:8. Isaiah 40:22 says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." And then Matthew 4:8 says, "Again, the devil taketh him upon an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them."
Okay, so you're saying in Isaiah 40, it says that the earth is a circle,
mm-hmm.
and but you were like, hey, scientifically, this is not right, because the earth is not a circle, it is a sphere. And then you're kind of comparing that to Matthew 4:8, which says Jesus was on a high mountain, and look at all the kingdoms of the world.
Right. How can that be?
Well, okay, again, like we talked about last week, there are rules for understanding and interpreting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's rules for understanding anything. And this, when we hear these things like the Bible saying that the earth is a circle, and we say, oh, well, that's just a contradiction because the Bible, the earth is not a circle, the earth is a sphere. What we're doing is we are totally misrepresenting how you're supposed to read or interpret the Bible. Mistake number four on my list of mistakes is this: failing to understand the context of the passage. Okay, now when we read here that the Isaiah is writing, oh, you know, and this God sits on the circle of the earth, you know, what's the context there? What is he trying to do, and what is he trying to say? If you read the whole passage in context, it says in Isaiah 40:17, "Before God, all the nations are nothing. They're regarded by him as worthless. To whom will you compare God? What image will you compare him to?" And it's talking about how huge God is, and how little we all are. And then it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth." I mean, this is not trying to give a scientific explanation of the shape of the earth. The context here is showing how much bigger God is than the earth.
Right.
And now, let's just go ahead and get totally ridiculous here. If you were trying to explain how far away God was and how big God was compared to the earth, you know, when you get those shuttle astronauts far, far away from the earth, what does it look like, Dave?
It looks like a disc.
It looks like a circle.
A circle.
So, you know, I don't think that's a very good explanation, but I think if you're going to say that calling the earth a circle in the Bible is a contradiction, then we can say, well, look, if from God's perspective, it's really tiny. I think a better one, though, is if we look at rule number 12.
Okay.
Rule number 12 says that sometimes we forget that the Bible uses non-technical, everyday language. I mean, it's not a science book. I believe it's completely true and everything in it is true, but it doesn't mean that everything it says has to be scientifically precise. Dave, what is the value of pi?
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
You don't know?
The value of pi is good to my tummy. That's all I know.
You know, some people, we talk about, you know, the value of pi is 3.14. Well, no, that's not actually true. It's 3.141592 or something like
that. I get what you're saying.
Right? And so however inaccurate you are on the value of pi, if you don't quote every number to infinity, you haven't given pi the exact value, right?
Right.
We say pi is 3.14. And we're just giving an estimate. We're using everyday
it's
language.
It's close enough.
Even scientists use an estimate of pi. Same thing with the Bible. I mean, it's not giving us a scientific term. It's just saying, look, it's like a circle. Okay, it's not a big a deal. Now, the other big question, though, comes when we're looking at Jesus. It says that the devil led him on top of a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, hey, if you worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And the question then is, well, what was the question about that part, Dave?
How can you see all the kingdoms of the world? I mean, it's impossible. I mean, we got all the kingdoms spread out over the sphere.
Yes. And so how could Jesus, sitting on the top of a mountain, see all the kingdoms around the circle?
That's one weirdly shaped mountain.
And this one is mistake number 14, neglecting to note that the Bible uses literary devices.
Okay.
Such as, including but not limited to, hyperbole. Today, we're coming to the show, and I looked at Dave, and I could have said, Dave, I think this show is going to blow your socks off.
And they have.
No, literally, your socks are gone. No, I mean, I don't literally mean that your socks are going to fly off when I say that, right?
Right.
And when I say, man, that thought just blew my mind, I don't literally mean my head exploded. I'm just using a literary device to say, look, something really big happened here. Mm-hmm. And when the Bible says, you know, Satan took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, worship me, I don't think it's literally tried to say
right.
He went through every single kingdom of the entire world, because that would take quite a while. You know, I think what it's trying to say is Satan was talking to Jesus and was trying really, really hard to get Jesus to worship him. And Satan was really, he was throwing all the kingdoms in front of him. He was saying, look, if you want that, you come to me. And Satan was really trying hard. I mean, it's just a literary device. It doesn't, I mean, it's just some hyperbole there. The Bible does this all over because it uses common language. It doesn't use scientific language. It's not supposed to. It's a book written by people trying to explain things. And sometimes we use hyperbole. Sometimes we use literary devices like analogies or metaphors. And so that is probably the answer to our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get back. You know, today, of course, we were talking about earlier the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
And who caused 9/11, Jeff?
Well, Muslim extremists got people who were following Islam, and they thought that for some reason or another, if they crashed the planes into the towers, it would. I don't really know the exact motivation. I didn't know them, but you know, they would maybe get into heaven, or they could take revenge on us.
Yeah.
Bin Laden.
Yeah, let's be really clear about something though.
Okay.
Islam did not cause 9/11. Okay.
Flesh that out. What do you mean by that?
Okay, what I mean is,
because certainly these guys were Muslims, right?
They were, but there were people that twisted Islam. And now I'm not going to here to defend another religion, but kind of I'm defending a group of people because they have taken the brunt of a lot of the blame. But these were people that either twisted the idea of Islam or used it for their own gain.
I see. So they took a religion, and you know, we're not going to make any claims, peaceful or non-peaceful religion.
Right.
We're just saying they took a religion, and they chose to use that to do something like 9/11.
Right. And whatever label it has at the time. I mean, you know.
And not all Muslims are like that.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I've spent time with other Muslims, and they're peaceful people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, it's just like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have extremes in everything, in politics, in sports, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you're wearing a Denver Broncos shirt today, which that's completely ridiculous.
Whatever.
No, but you're right. We have extremes. Some people in religion go to crazy extremes.
Right. But that leads us to a problem, though, as far as extreme and stuff like that. Why didn't God stop it? This evil thing.
That's a good question. And you know, more to the point, how could God even allow that?
Right.
I mean, this is a serious issue. How could God look and watch something like 9/11 go down and not stop it?
Right. That leads us to what's called evil's logical problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-part problem. And the first part says, an omnipotent, omnibenevolent God exists.
Yeah. Omnipotent meaning all powerful, and omnibenevolent meaning all loving, all kind.
Right. All gracious. And the part two, evil exists.
Okay.
So those two really kind of are at odds with each other.
You think that's a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people do. You know, when I was in high school, I remember I had a friend named Wilson, and he was out playing football one day. and someone started, I went to school in the Kansas City area. Someone drove by and just decided to unload a gun into the crowd. Just blam, 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 blam. And he got shot. A number of people were shot, and he died. He died in the arms of one of my other friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when stuff like that happens, you go, how evil exists. Clearly, evil exists. But how could a good God exist? And the, what we're talking about here is the problem of moral evil. Evil that results as the actions of another person doing evil. And the question is, how could a loving,